any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. When someone stands in the gap, we have an obligation to God. We have an obligation to our fellow saints. Most importantly, that we have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for all that are visiting with us, and we got friends here, we got family here. So good to see you, Ed and family, Piero family. We are just thankful for the saints that are visiting with us. And to our visitors, please understand this. We are thankful that you are here visiting with us at the Church of Christ and meets on Miami Gardens Drive. We also want you to know that everything that is said from this pulpit as it relates to the Word of God, we want you to be saved because God wants you to be saved. The fact that you did not see an organ or a piano is not because of finance, it's because of obedience. We have a song leader. We're not in the entertainment business in the Lord's church. When we come to worship, it is not to entertain. We sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. Amen, Ephesians 5:19. When we recognize that we give, we commune, if you will, as we give on a weekly basis, but we commune every Lord's Day. Every first day of the week we commune. We reflect back, as Brother Gail said, Gail Nelson the second, put the two up there next time so they don't mix us up every now and then. But the bottom line is we commune every Lord's Day. We reflect to the back to the cross of Calvary. We give as we don't tithe in the Lord's church. We give to show the sincerity of our love. And why do we say this to you? So you can get some perspective and context. Because as we speak on from the Word of God today, we're dealing with a series that oftentimes, and again, Brother Rick and I, we quote-unquote grew up in the church. Now, we were born again at the ages of 9 and 12 respectively. We're a little bit older than that now. And so we've been around a little while and we've seen a lot of things. And one of the things that's very important is I want you to understand that some things we don't talk about enough in the Lord's church. And that is just our heart condition, mental wellness. We can suffer in silence being members of the Lord's church. And that's contrary to God's word. And so today I'll be practical. We'll go back to the old schoolmaster so we can see some examples. But I'll be very intentional, and that's a word you're going to get today. But in our lesson text, Philippians chapter 4, and beginning at verse number 6, we appreciate Brother Little reading that in our hearing as we read the scripture. But the Bible says, and here we go, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, with an attitude of gratitude, let your requests be made known unto God. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name by Jesus' authority. And the Bible says, and the peace of God, not man, not popular opinion, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, people see that careful, and sometimes say, you see that word, be careful. Well, be careful crossing the street. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, let's take a look at it again. New King James Version. Be anxious. That word careful is translated anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard, here we go, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So our minds need to be guarded. Our minds need to be regulated. We need to understand. We need to have an understanding of what we do, why we do it. Have an understanding of what we say and why we don't say it. Because again, the gossiper, the murmurer, needs to understand why he or she acts that way. There's a reason. Let's look at it again in case you missed the first two. New International. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, situational leadership, the scenario dictates how you respond. You don't respond the same way, and I teach this in from a leadership standpoint, teach it to high school kids, teach it to college students. Understand this, when the building's on fire, you don't say, if it's comfortable, if it's convenient, please rise. Hey, situational leadership, get out. I'm not saying that right now. That's an example. Situational leadership. Do not be anxious in anything. but in everything, by prayer and petition. That supplication, that request, that petition, in every situation, we need to have some peace. In every situation, we need to be regulated. We need to go crazy, because again, you have extremes. You have extreme behavior, even in the Lord's church. So we're going to deal with this, because we all of us need help. All of us need to guard our minds. All of us need our hearts guarded. But we have someone that's with us no matter what. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 3 points today, saints and visiting friends. Mental wellness, we got to talk about it, and we will. How do we see things in life based on what we think? And our lesson today is part one this morning, part two tonight, maybe three and four next week, God willing. God is able. Those are our 3 points today. Mental wellness. How do we view things? What's your perspective? What's your mindset? And God is able. Mental wellness. I've had the pleasure of working in institutions of learning. Still do a little adjunct every now and then at the college level. Had the pleasure of working and still working youth and family development. Had the pleasure of coaching kids and young adults in the sports context. Why do I share that? Because I give you context. Because there's a common thread in all of that. People. Human beings. And we all act a certain way. So this term, socio-emotional wellness, don't be afraid of it in the church. Social relates to people. Social media, platforms where people talk. Social events where people come together. Society, derivative. A group of people. Society, social. So social relates to people. Emotion relates to our feelings. People have feelings. Breaking news. Saints, let us not be Academy Award winners. How are you today, sister? I am fine because it's Sunday, and I'm supposed to be fine because I am a child of God. And you're torn up inside. Stop it. No levity. I mean that sincerely and seriously. That happens far too often. I am fine because I'm a Christian robot. And people see you. Society sees us. And they say, that's why I don't want to be a Christian, because you all are a bunch of phonies. We have feelings. Your feelings should not be suppressed. Your feelings have to be made known. But you have, again, we got to break. I'm not saying you go crazy. I'm not saying that. I'm not teaching foolishness. What we're talking about is, if you are heartbroken, are you talking to somebody? If you are hurting, are you talking to somebody? I've stood in this same pulpit with a room full of people, as I said last Sunday night, to eulogize someone, a member of Lord's Church, who had committed suicide. School shootings, trace them back. It all goes back to somebody was hurt. Why did they shoot the football players and the cheerleaders? Because they were the ones that were teasing. They were the cool kids club. And this child didn't feel like they belonged. So let me hurt the cool kids. Because of my pain, I therefore hurt someone else. As we say in youth and family development and juvenile justice, the victim becomes the subject. Law enforcement language. The one who was harmed goes back and retaliates against someone else. It even happens in the Lord's church. Because I'm feeling some kind of way about myself, that I'm not going to speak to anybody. I'm going to be mean to people. It happens at very young age, and we grow up with it. I talked to my brother, our fellow elder, and we were talking. I said, you know what? Never heard this growing up in the church. That's what great gospel preachers. We're elders in the Lord's Church today because of what those men did and those families did for us. But brothers and sisters, this time we just hit the pause button. Oh, you're going to get plenty of scripture, but we need to make sure we apply the word of God. So we can know a whole lot of Bible, but yet we can't deal with people, and then you're going to run people off. Y'all all right? Take a deep breath. I know that was a hard hit. Social emotional wellness. Get used to it. Because people say mental health, there's stigmas related to mental health. Like, ooh, nothing's wrong with me. I'm fine. We all need encouragement. We all need, that's the beauty of fellowship that we've been talking about. So social emotional wellness. So remember, social people, emotional feelings. People have feelings. When the Bible says, be angry, Ephesians 4:26, and sin not. We have feelings. We get angry. And we, because of our anger, we can say or do things we ought not. Be angry and sin not. So I hope you understand this, the aspect, the context of which we were going to work with. And some people have social anxiety. Social emotional wellness. Social people and wellness, you know, emotional feelings. Some people just are anxious around people. Uneasy around groups of people. Some are social butterflies. I know the type. The more the merrier. I have to go to these leadership networking events. And you got all these people in the same room, and you can always, and I'm going in the room and I'm looking around, I'm walking around, and Chantel's like, here we go again. I'm shaking hands and kissing babies. Not literally, but you know, kind of literally. I'm going to that. And you know, some people are just like, and I find those people just say, how are you? Because you got like room full of people, and some people are just on the side. Same thing happens in the church. I look around this audience, we have people. This is a social setting. We're in worship, we understand what we're doing and why we're doing it, but we're around people. Not everyone is comfortable around people. And you say, you need to fellowship. Well, you may need to get to know their context. And we may need to, we need to share that with one another so we can best deal with one another. And sometimes, and I share this with singles as I go on the circuit and talk to singles workshops, leadership workshops, we have to be comfortable in our own skin. To all the singles, free marriage counseling, singles, free counseling. I jumped the gun. Y'all miss that. If you're not comfortable in your skin, you're not going to be good for anybody. And people pick up on that. If you're anxious, and I'm ahead of myself, let me just go there. If you're anxious, uneasy, worried, eagerly or earnestly desiring something, or distracted, people pick up on that. Now that one eagerly or earnestly desirous, like kids opening holiday gifts, and they're anxious, it's like, it's not necessarily a bad thing in that particular context. Someone could be excited about, you know, when Disney opens up and you're outside the gate and the gate, everybody runs in. We can just be excited about something, but we can also be distracted by our anxiety. We can be uneasy. We can worry about things. And this is a real emotion. And so saints of God, as Brother Rick appropriately laid out and kicked off this series last week, with things that can affect our minds, our hearts. When I say heart and mind, I'm synonymous. I'm not talking about the blood pump. But to the singles, I started it, but I didn't finish it. But to our singles, if you're overly anxious about getting married, you may run a lot of people away. Because that can also be is akin to desperation. Be comfortable in your skin. Be comfortable in knowing who God is. Be comfortable in knowing that I have time on my hands. Because I've been married 27 years ago. Is that about right? He's like, I don't know, Dad. You should know better than me. But Chantel's in Orlando on business, so I've been married a little while. I know scripture, but the math is not coming to me right now. It will be 28 years in October of this year, God willing. Thank you all for praying with me as you laughed at me. But nevertheless, there is a time when as a single man, you just get up and you just go. Now I have to ask permission to go play golf. But then I found that this past Friday was great because I took her with me. It's like, oh, yes, and she had a good time. Wisdom. Gail had a better time. He's like, now he's so regulated, it's great. He won't throw clubs today. Good. We have feelings. I didn't throw any clubs. Here's my point, brothers and sisters. Anxiety, anxious, being uneasy. We worry about things. And I'm here to tell you today that I want us to remember a few words as we get into the text. I want us to be more intentional. We have to be more intentional, deliberate, purposeful in order to provide clarity. Paul, when you brothers go over to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, Galatians 2 and verse 11, there's a phrase in Homeland Security, see something, say something. I was at Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ this past Wednesday talking on our summer series, and one of the brothers came up to me and said, he's in the Palm Beach School District, and he said they used to just put see something, say something about bullying and mental health, and he said there were still kids hurting themselves, and they had to go a little deeper and get into scenarios. It's not enough. See something, say something. Look for patterns of behavior. Address it at the earliest possible stage. And I gave his brother a hug and we talked. But my point is, we have to be intentional. Paul, talking about his confrontation with Peter, Galatians 2 and verse 11, what does the Bible say?
Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face.
Paul said, I withstood him to his face. Wait a minute, it takes courage to do this. Paul said, I withstood him to his face because there was some hypocrisy taking place. Oh, when the Jews come around, you can't be with the Gentiles. So I withstood him to his face. Read, go ahead and give me a few verses.
Because he was to be blamed.
Because he was to be blamed. He was to be condemned for what he did. What did he do? Read, context.
For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles.
He would eat with the Gentiles.
But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself.
He separated himself. And because of his behavior, others followed that example. Read.
Fearing those who were of the circumcision.
Fearing those who were of the circumcision. Fearing the Jews. Read.
And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him.
And other Jews also played the hypocrite with him.
So that even Barabbas...
So even Barabbas was caught up.
Was carried away with their hypocrisy.
Was carried away with their hypocrisy or dissimulation. In other words, so we have to let our, when we think about being intentional, let's be deliberate, let's be purposeful in order to provide clarity. What does that mean? See, murmurers and gossipers are behind the scenes. And there's, as quiet as it's kept, that there's a mental health issue. There's a socio-emotional issue. Because if you have an issue with a brother or a sister, you tell that brother or that sister. Amen. Jesus gives us very clear outlines. You got issue with a brother, you go to that brother or that sister. Amen. Court walls and lights. Oh, no, I'm in quasi-workshop mode, but I got to preach. And the bottom line is we can grow and mature as individuals when we address things directly. We spend a lot of time dealing with things behind the scenes. Let's be intentional. Paul says, I confronted him to his face. You're being a hypocrite because you carried others away. That's what intentionality looks like. It's what it means and what it looks like scripturally. We also need to be decisive. You're going to be back tonight? Maybe. Well, you know good and well where you're going to be. You're going to go to that. Well, Publix has let me give a better example. Publix. Macy's has buy one pair of shoes, get 10 free. You going? Absolutely. Be decisive. When you say yes, let it mean yes. When we say no, it means no. Simply put. James in James 5, Brother Lenny, James chapter 5, and in verses 12. We're talking about being not only intentional, this will help us with our social-emotional wellness. I can give you countless business examples, countless coaching examples. I've been in locker rooms, I'm saying, I've coached young men, I've coached ladies, and be like, you all ready? And I'm like, hype. And I said just like that, you all ready? And they're like, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long game tonight. Because they weren't ready. I mean, it's... Mentally, I can do this. The team may be 10 feet taller than we are, but we can do this. Are you already team? And they're like, team on three. 1, 2, 3, team. I'm like, oh, no. I got some of my athletes here. I got some of my former. I got Somerset athlete there. There's other Somerset athlete back in the day. Oh, my goodness. And I'm thinking, are you all ready to play? People see this. Be intentional, be deliberate, be purposeful, be clear. Let our yes be yes and our no, no. James 5 and verse 12. What does the Bible say?
But above all things,
my brethren,
swear not,
neither by heaven,
neither by the earth.
We don't need to, I swear on my grandmama's grave that I'll be there. Just say yes. You need to do all this other stuff, these oaths based on, things or place. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of you, brother. Read.
Neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea.
Let your yes be yes.
And your no. Nay, lest ye fall unto condemnation.
Let your no be no. So when Jezebel comes up to you, brothers, and says, are you available on Friday night? Well, let me check my schedule. No. Ladies, when Beelzebub comes up to you, I'm really working with these singles. This gets applied to singles and other folks. And, now he may be handsome, ladies. And are you available on Friday night? And you're sitting there having to think about it. Let your yay be yay. In this case, kind of. No. This will help our social-emotional wellness. I can tell you, I mean, I've been in leadership development for about 30 years now in nonprofit leadership. Brothers and sisters, I can say assuredly, it has helped me with my spiritual walk because I've learned, in some cases, through some business examples, business cases, then I look and say, well, that's already in Scripture. Just letting people know where you stand. I used to walk into board meetings afraid. Let me just not say anything. Now, they can't shut me up. But I regulate. I use wisdom. But my point is, I'm thinking, these people know better than me. They may have these big titles. I walk into corporations today. But I'm thinking about, but we have to remain humble. And saints of God, I want to encourage you today through the word of God that, again, recognize your own social-emotional condition. Recognize that. Write it down. And just say, what do I struggle with? We have to be intentional and let our yes be yes and our no, no. Because, see, as we talk about that, there's another word we need to remember. And to our visiting friends, this is very important, zeal. Because, see, at the end of the day, what are we zealous for? Now, what is zeal? That's that intense enthusiasm or interest. We are interested in God. We're excited about God. We're enthusiastic about God. When we sing the song to Zion today, when we sang the song, I will call upon the Lord. We should be focused. We should be excited. This is a blessing to be here today. Amen. But we live in a world, and to those that are visiting with us that are not members of the Lord's church, here's our station break. In Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. And saints, we need to recognize this. Because if we're not comfortable in our skin, and then others see us, we, members of the Lord's church, there are folks who have zeal. There are folks in this world that are excited about God. But the Bible says, lets us know. But they have a zeal without knowledge. In Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 1, Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That should be our primary focus. As we deal with people, as we matriculate through life, we will come into contact with a lot of people, different social business settings. The Bible says, Paul says, I want my brethren to be saved. But, for I bear them record, Gale, verse 2, for I bear them record, I take note, read.
That they have a zeal of God.
They have a zeal of God.
But not according to knowledge.
They're excited about God, but it's not according to knowledge. There are many that may be here today. As I said on yesterday, we had a house full of people for the funeral of our dear brother Nelson Jones. And many were not members of the Lord's church. And I told him, my brother was in the military. I said, he had a choice as to what branch that he wanted to serve. But when it comes to being in God's army, there's only one. They have a zeal of God, but the Bible says, but not according to knowledge. When you're excited about religion, excited about God, and you don't have the knowledge that you, again, the clear instruction from the Bible, what will you do? Read.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
For they being ignorant, unknowing of God's righteousness.
And going about to establish their own righteousness.
And going about, here's the danger, to establish their own righteousness. So we cannot let our emotions guide us. There's got to be some regulation. So you can be zealous about God and say, I want to do everything. Every church is right. No, there's only one in the Bible. Amen, walls and lights. Everybody loves God. Let's do this ecumenical thing. Everybody should be together. Well, God wants everybody together, but not based on man's emotion, man's preferences, man's guidance. No, God wants us doing it his way. Amen. Jesus says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John the Baptist didn't die for your sins. Jeremiah, Moses didn't die for your sins. Only Jesus. Why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Because it's the only church you find in the Bible. And I don't want to, somebody may be here and they're zealous, and from time to time we may have some today, and I have not looked at any visitor's cards, full disclosure. I see those at the end, so I can just preach. We have some people that may be here today that are members of the Baptist Church. John the Baptist didn't die for your sins. You won't find a Baptist church in the Bible. Some may be here today that are members of a Catholic church. There's no Pope in the Bible. Because last time I checked, and every time I read my Bible, the Holy Father is in heaven, not in Vatican City. And the one in Vatican City will die one day. And then there'll be a search for another holy father? I mean no harm. And some, even in the church, when we preach like this, may get uneasy because we don't want to offend anybody. I got to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. That same Paul says, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? We have to make sure we have the context. And so you can read this for yourself. So emotions have to be kept in check. Because if not, they will run us ragged. Zeal is a good thing. But zeal gone, or zeal without making sure your social emotional wellness is in check. Zeal making sure that you are staying within the bounds of Scripture. Zeal making sure we don't go about to establish our own righteousness is very important. And so, our third point. I don't know if you were tracking me. Your lessons probably, you're so enjoying it so much, you lost all track of time, didn't you? Here's my final point. We know that we are human beings. We have feelings. We have emotions. We are around people all the time. But brothers and sisters, don't ever forget that God is able. In Exodus chapter 3, we're going back to the schoolmaster. There's even some in the church say, why do we go back to the Old Testament? Because Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, Paul writing to the church of Christ in Rome, written for our learning that we, through the patience and comfort of Scriptures, might have hope. So we, New Testament Christians, can go back and see how God's people behaved and learn from it. You open up any modern-day textbook, and I know most things are online now, but back in the day with textbooks, I would love the math textbooks because they would have examples, patterns, figure 1-1. It was an example of the math problem. I would look at the figure to help me understand the current problem. And so when you look at basic Bible study, the types, the figures, the patterns, the examples of old, we can look at that and help us deal with the modern-day problem. The modern day opportunity. I don't use the word problem. Modern day opportunity. As I said, when we use the word problem, sometimes it can help, it can hurt our minds. I like opportunity. If you have a lying problem, you got a truth opportunity. Amen. It's all about perspective. God, look at what God did. See, God knows our pain. God knows our problems. God knows the challenges, if you will. The Bible says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen. Typically, I highlight that word. I have seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. I can preach a lesson just from that. God said, I see, I have heard, and I know. So why are we so downtrodden into thinking, oh my goodness, this is too big for me? God says, I see what my people are going through. I hear their cries. And I know their sorrow. That brings us comfort. Because no matter what I'm going through, like God is able. But now look at what he says. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, because I see, because I know, and I understand, I've heard, I see, and I know, I'm going to deliver you. God will deliver. God will save. He said, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Let's fast forward a little bit. Now remember this. God said, I see, I've seen the affliction, I've heard their cry, and I know their sorrows. The same God is in charge today. I can't stress that enough. But watch these words. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13, brethren. Numbers chapter 13. We're not going to leave the book of Numbers for the remainder of this lesson. Numbers 13. You may want to park over there. In Numbers chapter 13, watch what God says here through Moses, his mediator. Numbers 13 and 1, brethren. Go ahead and read. I have it on the screen for your convenience as well, because everybody learns differently. Read.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Now the same God who said, I have seen, I have heard, and I know. I will deliver you. into the land of the Canaanites and all the other ites, Hivites, Perizzites, Jebusites. Read.
Send thou men.
Send thou, you send some men.
That they may search the land of Canaan.
That they may search the land of Canaan. So God speaking through Moses. Now you send some men. He didn't just send any men. He sent leaders. Tonight I'll give you all their names. The Bible says, God said, you send some men to search the land of Canaan. I need research and I need a report. But look at this next. And I have it underlined in bold because I want you to see this. Read.
Which I give unto the children of Israel.
Hold your point. I've done it. Lenny just read it very clearly. But I want to make sure we understand what God just said. I've already given you the land. We sing the song, Victory in Jesus. But then why do we act defeated? The inevitability of sin. The reality of challenges. The reality of afflictions. What did Paul say to his son in the faith, Timothy? He says, those that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So we know we're going to have to go through some stuff. But the consolation, if we stop there, then that's a tough day every day. No, I wake up knowing who God is. I wake up knowing, and I'm getting ahead of myself for tonight. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And so I tell you what, brothers and sisters, in Miami Gardens, you know, we will continually, as an eldership, be intentional. We will address things before they even fester. We have spoken out against some of these pastoral preachers in our neighborhoods who openly said, we don't want elders. We said, brothers, you are dead wrong. That's why I'm not invited to certain things. I'm not losing any sleep. Nor Rick. We're going to stand on that. This year, be the Lord's will. We're going to put men up for elders and deacons. This year, be God's will. Amen, saints. Amen. You're like, I wonder who it is. Pay attention to the lesson. Distracted so easily. The bottom line is this. God said, I gave you the land. He said in Exodus, I hear you, I know, and I see, and I will deliver you. Now you go and get some men, get 12 men, and let them go check out this land that I have given you. We can be defeated before we even start because, again, I've left locker rooms thinking, ooh, okay, I just hope they do their best. We can be defeated before we even take the quote-unquote field, take the court. When you get up and go to school tomorrow, when you get up and go to work tomorrow, when you get up and go wherever it is that you go tomorrow, every day we need to know that God's with us. Nothing's too big for God. Of every tribe of the fathers shall you send a man. Everyone, read it. What kind of men are we sending?
A ruler among them.
See, we want to emphasize that. Oftentimes we just say, 12 men went in, and 10 and 2. Yeah, 10 and 2 will make sense later on. Rulers. Leaders. Can't lead with an attitude that we can't do it. Amen. I shared from this pulpit many times. I'll share it again right now. One of the best compliments Rick and I have gotten, and we obviously remaining humble, they said, you all don't let any foolish grass grow around here at all. And that's exactly right. Because we have this. So in a youth meeting, when someone said, can we have praise teams? Absolutely not. God bless you. Next question. And we explained it. We weren't that bottom line. But that's what it takes. Our kids are growing up in a society where the family is being redefined. We have to stick with Scripture. So God says, I see, I've heard, I see, and I know. Let me close it out now. The Lord said, send some men into this land that I have given you. It's yours, but tell me what you see. Our final point was, what do we see? And God is able. So then here come the reports. They went and came. I'll read for time's sake, brethren, as we can finish up. And they went and came to Moses, Numbers 13, verse 26. You all there? Three of us, good. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, if you look back at probably Numbers 13, I think the verse is about number 5. Let me go back there myself. About verse 20. Verse 20. When Moses sent them, he said, now listen, Be ye of good courage. I'm in the latter part of verse 20. Let me read the full thing so I don't confuse you. Numbers 13 and 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage. And bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. And bring me some grapes back too. Like same thing I tell my kids when they go to the store. Go get that and bring me some food back. He said, go check out the land and be of good courage. And by the way, bring some of those grapes back too. It's the time of the first fruits. And what did they do? In verse 26, they went and came to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation. What you say, people hear. And show them the fruit of the land. Here are the grapes. We were there. Here's the grapes. And but now, not only did they show the fruit, the abundant fruit of the land, and God already said, I'm giving you a land flowing with milk and honey. God already said that. But before they went, they said, be of good courage. The Bible goes on to say, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Verse 27. Nevertheless, see, there we go. Let me give you a little tip. When you talk to people, I do this, I have to do it every day. Listen to their words. I'm going to let that simmer. Listen to their words. Most meetings I have in Miami in business sound a little bit like this. Well, I know staff meetings too. I know we're supposed to, you know, do this. I'm just waiting. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But I was talking to my coworkers. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we think, so now you're the representative for all the other staff. That's cute. Where's everybody else? No, I'm just speaking for myself, but you just said we think. Well, I meant me. Well, then say I. This is typically what happens. And we have one years and years ago that said, we're not going to do it. I said, so we're not going to do it or you're not going to do it? She got fired. And everybody else is like, we're working. Hi. Be careful that you're not the spokesperson for foolishness. It happens in the church. It happens in the church. If you have an issue, you talk about it. Amen. Why am I sharing this with you? Because these men all saw the same thing. They didn't go two different places, 12 different places. They all went to the same place. These were rulers of the people. God said, I've given you the land already, but send you a man out of every tribe and make sure these are leaders that went in to see it. So they said, it's truly a land. And look at how they started. We went where you sent us. Thank you. It is a land full of milk and honey. We know God said that already. And here's the fruit thereof. Yes, we knew it. We know what time it is. It's time of first fruits of the grapes. Nevertheless, here's a pivot. Here's the shift. Listen for the shift in any conversation, even with your kids. Amen, parents. You're the best parents in the world. What do you want? Nevertheless, shift, transition. The people be strong. Talk about the beautiful land. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. This is a fortified city. Oh, the people are strong. One, the cities are fortified and walled, and very great is big place. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. There's like giants over there. These people are, it's just a tough place. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, verse 29 and 30. We're only going to 33. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. That was 10 of them giving that report. How many went over? 12. I'll give you their names tonight. Time won't permit it this morning. 10 of them had that report. And the Bible says they told the congregation. But two, and Caleb stilled the people, said, wait, hold on. Before Moses said, let us go up at once. Let's go. And possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with them said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Now this evil report, verse 32 of Numbers 13. You still tracking with me? I can see the runway. This plane's about to land. The Numbers 13, verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were, here it is, and we were in our own sight. How do you see yourself? If you don't see yourself as a confident Christian woman, what man wants you? If you don't see yourself as a, and I tell you what, now that I know how long I've been married, trace it back 27 years ago when Chantel met, she's not here, so I can say anything I want. Chantel saw me. No, I mean this humbly and sincerely. I love the Lord then and now. And she had a list. And she'll tell you, she had a list of like 10 things. You must be faithful. Must be a faithful member. Must be active in a local congregation. And there was men in Jacksonville. But wasn't Gail Nelson. My point is this. Don't compromise what you believe. Don't compromise. Not just limited to the singles. For our young people, be confident walking in that school. Not walking around prideful. Not teaching that foolishness. We're talking about you just being comfortable in your skin. But so that people can see the light. So let our light so shine. Not a flickering light. I know in whom I believe. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We have to be comfortable. The report, God said, I gave you the land, I see, I know, and I hear, I give you this land, go check it out and bring a report back. What is that called? It's an examination. Are you going to be faithful or not? Will I be faithful or not? We, in our own sight, are as grasshoppers. Now, keep in mind, you think about a grasshopper to us. Now, they're saying, we were like grasshoppers, and they're giants. So, there's no way. And so we were in their sight. Look at that combination there. Look at that phraseology. I see myself as little grasshopper. Therefore, they see me as a grasshopper. Our closing thought. God is bigger than our problems, folks. I put problems in quotes intentionally. Whatever challenge, whatever tribulation, whatever affliction you are dealing with right now, God is bigger. What gets in the way of our zeal, what we're going to talk about tonight, what gets in the way of our zeal? Some have not obeyed the gospel because of their, maybe it's a friend, or they're afraid of their friends, or then maybe the parents have always had, this is what we believe in our household, but you know better now. Obey God. Amen. Love your parents, love your husband, love your wife, love your kids, but don't let anyone stand in the way of you obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be a grasshopper in the eye. If you see yourself, well, I want to be an obedient child. Yes, but say, Mom, Dad, I love you, but I have learned the truth. I will not dishonor you, but I need to obey the gospel. I want to be a Christian. We got members of this church. I know you know the families. We have family members, and we have family members that are not members of the Lord's church. And Rick and I stood in this same pulpit, one of our uncles that helped raise us. And this was during the pandemic, so we did the funeral here, but we were on Zoom, and we preached from this pulpit. And all our family members in Lincoln, Nebraska, and California, and Ohio heard Little Ricky, as they call him, Little Ricky, and Little Gail stand up as grown men and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We walked them through how we grew up, but we let them know, this is what, and we call our grandmama mama, this is what mama taught us. But not just because our grandmother was a loving, beautiful woman, but because she took us to the Word. Now, you may have somebody in your life that you love but did not teach you the truth. Don't be the grasshopper. Don't look at yourself as a grasshopper. Don't worry. Don't be uneasy. Anxiety is real. A lot of things can cause us to be anxious. It's got to be regulated. The viewpoint, sometimes we get in our own way. How we view ourselves, what we tell ourselves, what we begin to believe. Bible lets us know that we can believe a lie. So as I close today, I pray to God that we can be like those, Caleb and Joshua, Those were the two that said, yes, let's do it. Let's go. We can do this. 10 of those men, absolutely no way. Well, I'm letting you know that Jesus made a way for all of us to be saved. If you are here today, I hope, trust, and pray that what you've taken from this lesson is, one, let us be clear. Let us be honest with ourselves about our own social-emotional wellness. Where do I stand? How comfortable am I around people? How comfortable am I in my own skin? It's real. Two, we will face challenges. But don't look at them as some insurmountable obstacle, because that will suppress our zeal. Are we less zealous than we used to be? Are we more zealous? Are we zeal out of control? It's got to be in check. We got to be in check. We got to deal with context. We got to deal with people. But let us most importantly stay focused on saving souls and fellowshipping one with another, keeping the safe safe. And the third point, God is able. And God is able to save us. See, God doesn't save us through our feelings, our emotions. We have to hear and believe what Jesus Christ did for our sins. Jesus Christ came down to this earth. John, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, for God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world, through him, through Christ, might be saved. There is no black church. There is no white church. It is just the church of Christ. Jesus died for the sins of the world. There's so much division in our world today, so much division in our state. Let's just stay focused as Christians. It will tear people up. I was asked when I went to preach at the congregation. It's been years. Some people were asking. Some people, one person came to me. Some people were wondering. This is during the election. So they were wondering if you were a Republican or Democrat. I said, is that right? I said, they're going to hear a gospel preacher in a minute. Please step aside. And don't get me caught up in that foolishness. Because last time I checked, there's stuff I disagree with on all sides of that foolishness, the political spectrum. And as I told you, as we get into, as we get closer to October, and the Miami Gardens, you see signs all over the place. We used to be a polling place. We will get engaged in the community through evangelism, but nobody's going to come in here and speak anything about politics. Nobody. They're welcome to come in, and we'll tell them to have a seat. Now, we'll lure them in. It's like Rick and I was like, come on in. They come in ready to speak. No, have a seat. They hear the gospel, and they can leave. That's it. Amen, saints. God is able. We can make our calling and election sure by hearing and believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. How that Jesus Christ died for our sins. How he was buried. In his death, he shed his blood. He purchased the Lord's church, the church of Christ. The church belongs to Christ. He rose again the third day. If you hear and believe that, are you willing to repent? Turn from our ways and turn to God. Luke 13:3-5. Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are we willing to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God? Because upon that confession, you'll be immersed in water today. What does baptism do? It saves us now. 1 Peter 3:21. Baptism washes away our sins. Acts 22:16. Baptism puts us into Christ. Galatians 3:27. And we're added to one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Acts 2:47. One body, one church. Everybody can be a part of it. But God does not draft. We have to enlist. God's not going to make us. There'll be no need for faith. God says, yes, I need you right now. Get in here. No, you have to make an informed decision. Sign me up. Put me in the game, coach. And once you get in, and once we become children of God, be faithful. Dealing with our own social emotional wellness, be faithful until death. And the beautiful part is, as we deal with inevitability of sin, as we deal with the trials and tribulations, we know there's power. There's power in the blood. The lesson is yours. If you're on Zoom, please put your request in the chat. And if you need to respond in any way, God is able. Know that, believe it, live it, as we together stand and as we together sing. Won't you come?